carries in, scores! Patrick Laine snaps it. What a goal by Laine.
Gonna throw this one in the trash and move on. That's not obviously the way you want to start.
Shooting, it's off of Hellebuck. Rebound, it's out of the net. Stopped by Hellebuck. Key saves for Connor Hellebuck.
Totten scores. Sidney Crosby.
As long as we stick together as a team, we'll be all right.
Stand by highlights. Stand by host. You big boys.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Miles, everyone.
With Drew Mendel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manouk.
And cue the little criminal.
On your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Outlet far side for Wheeler. Shift ahead for Seifert for the hat trick. Seifert shoots and scores! Mark Seifert with his second career hat trick. The hats will rain down. 5-2 Winnipeg, and that'll salt this one away.
It's go time. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 Radio. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Dave Manouk. Drew Mendel is off this week. We've got a great 3 hours of hockey talk coming up for you today on a Mr. Lube game day edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In about half an hour time, we're going to be joined by former NHL defenseman and Stanley Cup champion, current TSN Jets analyst Nick Boynton is going to join us. We're going to preview tonight's game against the Montreal Canadiens. At 10 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Marc Dumont of The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690. 10:30, Michael Trakos of Post Media is going to join us. And we have a whole slew of other guests coming up. Dave, I want to get right into the week in review for the Jets. Since we were on air last week, the Jets have played 3 games. Sunday night was the first game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, maybe the most impressive win by the Jets this season, I would argue. You had a road victory, 2-1 over the Minnesota Wild. And then, of course, you had the most recent victory Thursday night against the Dallas Stars. The Jets have now won 3 games in a row. And since losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets at home on October 7th, the Jets have a record of 4-0-2. They have not lost in regulation. In fact, since the Jets lost their first 2 games, the Jets have only lost 1 game in regulation in their last 10 games. They're 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. Dave, why is this team playing so well right now?
So, very good question, Ezzy. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they're playing a more structured game. They're playing a lot less of a chancy game. They're trying to, sure, they're giving up a lot more shots than they're taking.
Is chancy a word, by the way?
It is now because I used it, but I think that they're well, I mean, let's be realistic. It begins with Connor Hellebuck. Connor Hellebuck's been nothing short of phenomenal. He's 7-0-1. All of his goalie stats are really, really high, and you've got the traditional ones like save percentage and goals against. Not high in the sense that they're really high, but he's elite right now in the NHL with the way he's been playing. So that is probably where it begins, the fact that the Jets have a tremendous amount of confidence in their young goaltender. He's been playing exceptionally well for them. He's been keeping the puck out of the net. And so that really, to me, is where it starts. And then, again, I think that the Jets have been playing a little bit better. We've been talking about that defensive structure resulting in, you know, in chances and opportunities. And again, the Jets aren't taking a tremendous number of shots, but they really do seem to be taking advantage of when they, you know, when they do take that shot, that they're in a better higher chance percentage opportunity, and they're scoring on them. They're converting them. So that to me is the significant aspect of what they're doing, really. But you know, people talked about this team, and there was concern, you know, when they got beat in the first 2 games by Toronto and Calgary, and you know, if you remember, the sky was falling and the world was ending, and fire everybody and trade everyone, and the truth is, as of right now, the team seems to have turned it around. And it isn't it ironic, if you think about it, that Toronto got off to that hot start. I think they were like 4-1 or 5-1 to start the season. Now they've kind of slipped down, and so it seems like the fan bases have kind of whipping around. The Jets have this fan base that's seeing the team on this upward trajectory, and Toronto seems to be on a downward spiral. So, to me, again, I think they seem to have kind of adhered to this structure and this defensive nucleus, and as a result of that, they're getting the opportunities to win the games because their goaltending's been good and they're getting the timely scoring that they need.
You know, Dave, you mentioned the first 2 games of the season, and we know that those were disappointing games for the Winnipeg Jets, getting blown out by the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Calgary Flames. You know, going back to Tuesday, October 17th, though, the game that they lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-2. You could argue that was the worst loss of the season. The Columbus Blue Jackets completely controlled the pace of play, the scoring chances, everything, goaltending. When you look at that game and how the Jets have played since, starting off with that win at home against the Minnesota Wild, the 4-3 win, but then continuing on the road, they lost those two games against Pittsburgh and Columbus, but picked up 2 points in those games, which was followed by the 7-1 win against Pittsburgh, and then obviously, you know, two more wins on the road against Minnesota and at home Thursday night versus Dallas. But was that maybe a wake-up call for this team that they really needed to pick up their play early in the season?
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it last week on the show, just how important those games are. And people talk about, oh, well, those are points left on the board. But, I mean, if you would have said you were going to go into Columbus and Pittsburgh and pick up, you know, 2 of 4, that you would have been like, again, we talked about it. This is something that later in the season, when you're fighting for your playoff lives or you're looking for perhaps home ice advantage, you look back and you think, well, those 2 points, how critical were they that they were able to walk into Columbus and then again, or into Pittsburgh first. And the Columbus game, let's be realistic, Connor Hellebuyck was phenomenal. But that was a game that you didn't think that they were going to have a chance on because it was a back-to-back and they were probably tired from a very exhausting Pittsburgh game. And they got the points. So, you know, that could be a bit of a turning point, especially because they had a bit of a layoff between the Friday night game on the 20th of October against Minnesota. And then they didn't play again until the 26th in Pittsburgh. So there was a bit of a lull in the schedule. And we, of course, talked about the five-day break. But, you know, perhaps, like I said, it seems to have spurred this team on because whatever they practiced during that time off, it seems to have been, you know, put it's come to fruition. And, you know, you have a team that's finding success and they have a lot of confidence. And again, it starts with a goaltender who's extraordinarily hot. Now, is that going to maintain for the rest of the season? We don't know, obviously, but, you know, you ride that until it doesn't. And then again, you have to adjust. But for what Blake Wheeler talked about, I mean, honestly, I think it was either the Minnesota game or perhaps it was even the Carolina game. He talked about these are the kind of games that our fans are going to have to get used to. We're not going to be, look, the Pittsburgh game obviously is an anomaly, that 7-1 game. You're not having those every night. But the fact is that they're going to be in some tight games because they're trying to change their style. And it's like, this is changing course on a ship. It's not something that just happens quickly because you decide unilaterally that you want to change your course. When you have players, especially offensive players like Ehlers and Scheifele and Wheeler and Laine, you have to change the mentality, and it takes a lot to change group mentality and change your focus. So it wasn't something that, you know, the coaching staff was going to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try and implement this. And then 3 minutes later, that's what the style of the Winnipeg Jets was going to be. So I think, again, it's something that took a while to kind of change its course. And obviously, again, you have new personnel like Tyler Myers, in theory, because he only played 11 games last year, Dmitry Kulikov, kind of getting into form. And now I think you're kind of seeing that this core seems to have an identity. And again, they're having success.
I think Kulikov's played really well the last 4 or 5 games. I think he struggled a little bit earlier in the season, but I've really liked Kulikov and Myers on that second pair there. Dave, you mentioned the goaltending earlier, and I want to kind of expand on the goaltending because, as you mentioned, Connor Hellebuyck has started the last 3 games. He's only allowed 4 goals in those 3 games. He put up save percentages north of .960 in the wins against Pittsburgh and Minnesota, came down a little bit, .913 against the Dallas Stars, but he was still very good in net, only allowing 2 goals. We expect Connor Hellebuyck to get the start tonight against Montreal, and we know that Al Montoya is going to start in net for Montreal because Carey Price has a lower body injury, so he's day-to-day right now. But when you look at the next 3 or 4 games, you've got Dallas coming up next week, then you've got a little bit of a break, and then you've got Arizona and Vegas on the road next weekend. Do you see Steve Mason getting in the net before that back-to-back set?
No. I think that, it all depends on what happens tonight. You know, it's easy to say no, but then, because based on the way Connor Hellebuyck is playing, but I mean, you have to continue to ride your hot hand. And to me, you give Connor Hellebuyck, and the key, of course, is the pace of the schedule, and it allows for Connor Hellebuyck to get the recovery from a heavy game. So if today Montreal does the what, you know, would be somewhat unexpected and dominates the Jets, but Hellebuyck, you know, comes up with the win, do you not keep playing him in Dallas? And then you think to yourself, okay, well, we'll give Mason and Hellebuyck a split next week on the Friday, you know, Saturday when they go to Vegas and Arizona. So to me, that's the key, is that they'll probably continue to ride him provided the Jets are winning. And then, you know, because, I mean, at the same time, like, what are you going to do? I know you brought Steve Mason in to be the number one. But at the end of the day, it's about wins. And so, you know, you can't be worried about, you know, Steve Mason had a good outing his last game. But at the same time, you have to just kind of stick with what's working. And it appears that Connor Hellebuyck is working. So why change it?
Dave, I want to play a clip of Jets head coach Paul Maurice on Wednesday before the game against the Dallas Stars, which was Thursday. But this was Paul Maurice Wednesday after practice talking about how he's going to handle the goaltending in the short term.
Yeah, I got a flow chart, and I'm not a mental flow chart of how this goes. If it goes well tomorrow or not with each goalie, where you would end up finding putting guys in. I thought it was important that Steve got back in and got a good game under his belt. I think the schedule now kind of sets itself up, so there's less concern about that. We got practice time coming up, and Connor's going well right now.
So, Dave, that's Jets head coach Paul Maurice from Wednesday, November 1st, prior to the game against the Dallas Stars, talking about his goaltenders. He was referring to Steve Mason playing the game on the road against Columbus, right? And we know that Connor Hellebuyck was really good on Thursday night against Dallas. So you've got Montreal tonight, you've got Dallas coming up early next week, and then you've got a bit of a break there, and we talked about the back-to-back game. So based on what Paul Maurice said, Dave, doesn't that make you think that Steve Mason probably doesn't get into the net probably in Arizona?
Yeah, that to me would make the most sense, again, because I think you're just going to continue to play Connor Hellebuyck the way he's been playing in the net for you. And again, Steve Mason will get his opportunities, and if Connor Hellebuyck falters, then it's Steve Mason's opportunity to become that number one that the Jets need him to be. But at the end of the day, having two guys who could, in theory, be your number one goaltender is a good thing for an NHL team. Because, look, it's not always going to be rosy for Connor Hellebuyck, and perhaps he has a bit of a, you know, a lull at some point because his numbers have been, you know, spectacular, and they could come down. In theory, they should come down. They may not. You never know. I mean, it's sports. You can try and predict these things. You don't know that you're going to be accurate in your predictions. But. You know, if there is a lull in his game, then perhaps we see Steve Mason step in. But for right now, I just don't see any sort of flaws to what Connor Hellebuck's been able to do.
And I agree with you, Dave. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck is arguably the best goalie in the league right now. I really think that you could make that argument. I'm not saying that he's the best goaltender of the last 5 or 10 years. I'm talking about the last couple of weeks. He might be playing like the best goalie in the league right now. And again, small sample size. But the way he's playing, I mean, we talked about it, he's undefeated. That's never happened in Jets 2.0 Thrashers history where a goaltender has won or been undefeated, pardon me, in his first 8 games. And, you know, we looked at his save percentage. You can look at all of the stats. Sub-2 goals against average. Sure, that's a team stat. I know the advanced stats crowd doesn't like that stat, and I agree with them. But the fact is they're winning. And do you have any concern that Steve Mason might be negatively affected by the fact that he's not playing a lot, he's struggling, and he's not able to get back into the net maybe quicker than he thought he would?
Well, just on the advanced stats with goaltenders, you know, goals saved above average, which has a tendency, I think Greg Bullock is the one who came up with that one, and he's right now top 5 in the league at about 7. So it's, to me, like the way he's been playing, and for those who don't know, that means that's the goal, the goalie prevented, given his save percentage and shots faced versus the league average save percentage on the same number of shots. So that it's a telling stat for goaltenders. It's kind of the one that a lot of people focus on, and he's top 5. And the only guys ahead of him right now are Crawford, Quick, Smith, and Vasilevsky. So he's in top, you know, league. He's in amongst the top of the league in the way he's been playing. So I think, again, you can look at all the numbers you want, and right now his numbers are really good. Going to your question as about Steve Mason. To me, again, it's a function of you don't really have a choice. You have to go with what's getting you wins. And you can't worry about a guy's mentality at this point because, first of all, he's a veteran. It's not like this is his first year in the league and he's going to be crushed by the fact that he's not playing. He's got to be pragmatic enough to realize that the Jets are going to ride whichever goaltender is playing extraordinarily well. And they seem to be playing really well in front of Connor Hellebuyck. And I think, sure, we heard from Steve Mason at the beginning of the season. He said he's the kind of guy who wants to play all the games. And I suspect if you're a professional athlete and you're a goaltender, you want to play the majority of the games. That's the whole point. But I think that, you know, from his perspective, he just knows he has to bide his time at this point.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Dave, again. I mean, when you're talking about Steve Mason, you know that he's going to be okay with what's best for the team. The team is winning. He knows that he has to be better, and I think he will be better, but he knows right now the way Connor Hellebuck is playing, he's been around the league for a decade, more than a decade. So he knows that when a goaltender is playing the way Connor Hellebuck is playing, he'll get back into the net, but it might be, you know, three or four games from now, and he'll have his opportunity to play better and prove that he deserves more starts. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about an interesting article that Scott Campbell wrote in the Winnipeg Free Press, talking about the goaltending and if the goaltending is making up for some of the Jets' trouble spots. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Winnipeg Jets game day. We're live on TSN 1290.
Carl Hagelin, the long shot, before he took a bump from Bufflin. Loose puck for Malkin. Big save. Connor Hellebuck, huge save off of Malkin from point-blank range.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 Radio. It's a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day edition of the show. Huss and Rick are going to kick everything off at 3 o'clock with the afternoon ride live from Boston Pizza City Place. Then Kevin O and JP Vigier have the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 5 o'clock, also live from Boston Pizza City Place. I don't know about you, Dave, but I always love it when an original six team is in town on a Saturday night, especially the Habs.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I was talking about that with somebody else, and I said that it's interesting because you see all these other jerseys, the chants get going. Although I have to say that that Dallas atmosphere was, in my mind, one of the best, probably, well, for sure, in my mind, it was the best atmosphere for a game of the season, because the Pittsburgh game was just ridiculous. The goals kept happening, and the fans were into it, but that kind of lulled in the second and third period. That Dallas game felt like a playoff game to me. It was such a good atmosphere, and I think the fans were so into it from start to finish, and I thought it was phenomenal.
And it's a divisional rival, right?
Right, exactly.
So you know that the fans are happier knowing that this is one of the teams that the Jets are going to have to beat out to get into the playoffs, right? The Dallas Stars, we know they've improved in the offseason. They're already off to a better start than they had last year. And I agree with you. When you have two hat tricks in back-to-back home games, right, because you had the Minnesota game on the road between the games against Pittsburgh and Dallas, so you've had a Blake Wheeler hat trick last weekend, and then you had the Mark Scheifele hat trick on Thursday night. I agree. Whenever you have that on the ice, you know that the fans are going to be excited. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy, that's me. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. For more information about Linden Market Dental Center, visit lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Dave, I want to get into Scott Campbell's article from the Winnipeg Free Press. Obviously, Scott Campbell, former hockey player, writes a great weekly column in the Winnipeg Free Press. He's basically talking about, you know, the Jets' style of play, the way they've been playing offensively, defensively, and how Connor Hellebuck's stellar goaltending might be masking some of the defensive warts that the Jets currently have. And, you know, I wanted to go over some statistics really quickly about the Jets and their shot generation, the amount of shots they're giving up, their possession. Right now, the Winnipeg Jets are ranked 29th out of 31 teams in team Corsi, team possession. The Winnipeg Jets are giving up 33.3 shots per game, which is ninth most in the NHL. And the Winnipeg Jets are generating 28 shots a game, which is last in the NHL. And to me, that is probably the most alarming statistic. With all of the firepower, Dave, that the Jets have, Patrick Laine, Nikolaj Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Brian Little, Dustin Bufflin, the Jets are last in the NHL in shot generation. Now, I know you've read this article because you posted it on illegalcurve.com. Do you think Scott has a point here? Are the Jets maybe relying a little bit too much on the stellar goaltending of Hellebuck?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question about it that the team knows that Hellebuck is playing well, as we discussed and outlined in the previous segment, and I think that they're relying on that. But again, I think it becomes a function of this team attempting to adhere to what the coach is mandating. And from my perspective, that's a more defensively responsible team that's going to take the puck and just, you know, again, not give up a ton of grade A chances in order to generate those grade A chances. So I think it's a slow adjustment, and people will, as you just said, Ezzie, will touch about all on all these players that are so offensively gifted. But from Blake Wheeler down, these guys, Patrick Laine himself has talked about trying to prevent giving up all these opportunities and these chances. And again, sure, the shot, they're giving up a lot of shots, but how many of those shots are really high quality versus just a shot from the outside that Connor Hellebuyck sees all the way and easily stops and directs towards his defense?
And Dave, that's a good point, because when a team is trailing, we typically know that there are score effects, right?
Right.
And especially when you're talking about a team like Dallas, you're down by two or three goals, you know that they're going to turn it on and possibly generate more shots. So I think that's a good point that you make when you're looking at shots, that you don't want to necessarily just look at them in a vacuum. You want to look at the teams they've played. And the Jets have played the Pittsburgh Penguins twice, and they've played the Columbus Blue Jackets twice.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, the key to me, for me at least, is that the Jets, while the second period has been better of late, was a bit of a bugaboo, if you will, but their first period has been very good. And they've come out and they've been ahead, I believe, for the most part in their first period. So to me, like, again, I think that that's the key point, is that they're coming out and they're not coming out flat for the most part. These games, we're seeing them come out and have strong starts. And really, they're defending leads, if you think about it. You know, so to me, that's the reason why you're seeing these big kind of shot totals against, is because they're trying to stay within the structure, not play too loose, not turn the horses loose and let them go. And again, you know, the fact is that they've got the third and fourth lines that aren't necessarily high production lines. Now, they're not allowing goals against in that Dallas game, for example. But the fact is, and Brandon Tanev obviously had that goal disallowed, which was a nice play by Sean Mathias. So that's something, obviously, it comes off the score sheet.
That should have been a goal.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really unusual.
That should have counted.
But yeah, no, the Jets have been unlucky now with a couple of disallowed goals that could have really impacted and adversely affected the game, and they didn't allow it to. So I think that's part of it, as I really do. I think it's, again, it's an adherence to an attempted structure change from this team, and, again, turning these offensive players into more defensively-minded, responsible players. And I think that, you know, it's funny how fans get really excited about kind of what they see as a lack of offense or a lack of shot generation. But the fact is that if this, you know, this team was losing, then I think that they'd have more to talk about. But right now, while you see the Jets just trying to, you know, maintain what they're doing and are having success, I don't anticipate any changes. I mean, and again, once they have a little bit more of a comfort with that structure, I think that you may see a bit of a tweak where they start to have more longer periods, maybe a first, second, and third, where they dominate a game.
And that's why I'll listen to the argument that if the Jets keep on winning, then who cares about their team Corsi, right? Like, if don't you want Connor Hellebuyck playing this way? Like, what Jets fan is going to say, no, I'm not enjoying Connor Hellebuck's stellar goaltending? I wish he had a 3.0 goals against, and I wish his save percentage was .895, right? And the thing is, we know that Connor Hellebuck's numbers might regress a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hope that they don't, because he's having a great season, but .938 save percentage, 1.98 goals against average, there's a good chance that the save percentage goes down and the goals against goes up a little bit. Not that much, but just based on, you know, his previous numbers, you expect that to go up a little bit, Dave. And, you know, returning to what Scott Campbell wrote in this article, and I agree with you, right now the Jets are having success, and there's a transition period. Because 12 games is a small sample size, and Paul Maurice even talked about it earlier this week, I wouldn't establish too much permanence to what's happening right now, because the Jets have kind of changed a little bit of their style of play. I don't think they've changed it drastically, but there's a definite commitment to a different type of structured team defense. And Scott Campbell mentioned that, you know, they're kind of sitting back a little bit in the neutral zone, trying to create turnovers and transition with their quick striking players like Nikolaj Ehlers, like Mark Scheifele, like Blake Wheeler, Brian Little. And it's working right now. I mean, with the exception of maybe, I would say, three or four games, I would throw in the game against against the Minnesota Wild recently, where you could argue that the Minnesota Wild controlled the pace of play for the majority of the second half of that game,
mm-hmm.
and the early games in the season against Calgary and Toronto, where the Jets' offensive numbers were actually decent, possession numbers, I should say. But when you're talking about the majority of these games, we talked about it. The Jets have only lost one game in regulation in the last 10 games, right? So this new style of play that they've implemented, it's working right now.
And the one key factor is that you're missing Adam Lowry and Matthew Perreault. I mean, your third line really is similar to a fourth line, essentially. So you've got, you know, a modified 2-3.5 lines, if you want to call them that, you know, essentially, as opposed to having a little bit more balance of scoring. And so you are relying on that, those top two, the Wheeler line and obviously the Little line, to really be your scorers. And the other ones, you just want them to really keep you in the game. They're playing decent minutes, but again, they're not producing as much as you'd like. And of course, of recently, we've seen a few, a little bit more contributions from Joel Armia, Andrew Kopp at 5-on-5, as opposed to just in special teams.
Brendan Lemieux.
So, yep. So again, you're getting a little bit more of a contribution from your third and fourth lines, which is something you need. But again, right now you are relying heavily on your goaltender. And as Scott talked about and touched on in his article, there's no doubt that Connor Hellebuck's numbers could go down. But again, once you get this infusion of Lowry and Perreault, especially Perreault more than Lowry, I think you could see a little more offense from the third line.
And, you know, Dave, just before, you know, some of the listeners get all over us and saying that, you know, we aren't concerned. I mean, I think both of us and many, the Jets included, are concerned with those possession numbers. I mean, we know that they look at this. And when you look at, you know, the fact that you're third last in the NHL in shot differential and you're last in the NHL in generating shots, I think that's a concern. And we know that's most likely going to improve just based on the amount of skill that the Jets have. Mm-hmm. They're a fast, skilled team, and I think those numbers are going to go up. But when you're talking about this, the opposite effect happened last year when the Jets were taking too many chances,
right,
and they were giving up chances coming back the other way, right?
Yep.
So I think that you have a little bit of give and take here, and you can't have the best of both worlds, right?
Well, exactly. And that's the whole point. And if we're talking about a team that isn't 7-1-2 in their last 10 games, you know what I mean? If they're 1-7-2, then fine. Then you have an argument. But for right now, the Jets are winning. And you're not going to say, well, we're going to turn our head and ignore some of our flaws, but again, you got to keep on focusing on the positives from the Jets' perspective, of course. And the Connor Hellebuck's playing well. The team seems to be playing well in front of him. And again, I think they're having success. So you'll probably see more of the same.
Dave, we're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by former NHL defenseman, Stanley Cup champ, current TSN analyst Nick Boynton. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Winnipeg Jets game day. We're live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, Drew Mandel is off this week. He'll be back on this coming Wednesday's NHL This Week show. Let's head to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We're now joined by former NHL defenseman, 2010 Stanley Cup champion, and current TSN Jets analyst, Nick Boynton. Nick, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Nick, we want to get right into the Winnipeg Jets. We've been spending the first couple of segments of today's show. We're going to continue to be talking about the Jets in the first half of today's show. They're on a good run right now. 3 wins in a row. They're 4-0-2 in their last 6 games since that loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. What have you seen in the last couple of weeks out of this Jets team that shows you that maybe they've turned the corner and they're starting to get some more confidence in their game?
Well, first and foremost, the goaltending, I think, is the most important position, and Connor Hellebuck's been unbelievable. He's just, you know, when they signed Mason, I think in the summertime, he could have gone either way, you know. He could have taken it as a negative, or he could have used it as a positive and as motivation and drive, and I think it's been amazing. The kid's just, he's been on fire, and when you've got a goalie on fire, the team in front can't help but be confident, especially when you're as offensively talented as the Jets are. But Hellebuck's been the difference for me, for sure.
Nick, Tyler Myers returned to the Jets after only playing 11 games last season. He's already played 12 for the team this year. You know, you're a defenseman. What would that be like for a guy to have played so little last year to coming back this year and getting the opportunity to play fresh?
It's tough. You miss a whole, you know, I think he played 11 games. That's basically missing a whole season. It's more difficult mentally than it is physically. Just, you don't feel part of the team, and, you know, you're not involved and you're not helping out, and it hurts mentally. But he looks like he's well rested. He's got jump for a big guy. He's up and down the ice, and he's another guy. You can just tell the Jets are excited. They're a young team, And for me, just being around a little bit and just sort of watching them, they're having fun. And in 2010, when I was on the Blackhawks, that was the most fun I'd ever had. It was a bunch of, you know, young guys on the team that were good, and things just worked. And right now the Jets are having fun and things are going their way.
And Nick, I wanted to stick with goaltending. Last segment, we were talking about Scott Campbell's article, in the Winnipeg Free Press. I'm not sure if you caught it, but he was basically talking about that Winnipeg Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuyck might be masking some of the Jets' trouble spots. They're giving up a lot of shots. They're ranked in the bottom five right now of Team Corsi. And whether or not you subscribe to that, do you think that early on in the season, I know it's tough to say because if a goaltender is playing well, you don't want to spin it in a negative way, but at times, do you think maybe the Jets are too reliant on Hellebuyck to make that big save?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. There's a stat that jumped out at me more the other night when I was doing the game in Minnesota, and it's the Jets scored something like over 20 first period goals. And I can tell you, just, you know, from playing in the league, if you're playing from behind, you're chasing the game, it opens up, you know, a whole bunch of other areas where you've got to take chances and make mistakes. So if the Jets keep scoring first period goals, they're so far ahead of the game, it's unbelievable to me. I know they haven't done well in the second period, but listen, you pay the goaltenders to stop shots. That's the way it is. Obviously, you don't want to give them too many, but they're doing, you know, last game especially, they're staying out of the box. And if the Jets can be a disciplined team and stay out of the box, you know, with minor penalties, they're going to go a long way, because offensively at the other end, they just have the ability to bury teams.
Nick, Tucker Pullman was assigned to the Moose and got into his first game action since October 17th. He played in all situations last night in a 4-1 win. How much will this help his development instead of sitting in the press box and watching games from above?
I think it's great for him. I think Tucker's got a bright future in the NHL. I played 2 full years in the minors and it only helped me. I know, you know, they say it's a younger game now and they're bringing guys in earlier, but the Jets have got 6 good defensemen and 6 NHL defensemen right now. And he's just best to get some game action. And the fact that obviously the Manitoba Moose, you know, the whole setup's right there, it's not a bad thing. And as a player, I think he wants to play too. And you know what? Injuries happen throughout the season. He'll get his opportunity. But it's just, as a player, you don't want to go down, but I think he's just got to take it in a positive way. You need to play. You need to keep your legs moving. Sitting in the press box does nothing for development or confidence.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline by Nick Boynton, former NHL defenseman, 2010 Stanley Cup champion, and current TSN analyst. Nick, I wanted to ask you about Brendan Lemieux. And I know when you were coming into the NHL, you played against his dad, Claude Lemieux, who was still in the league. And Brendan Lemieux's got the call-up from the American Hockey League. He got into a fight on Thursday night against the Dallas Stars with Jamel Smith. He's picked up his first NHL goal. What have you kind of thought of the dynamic that Brendan Lemieux has brought to that fourth line for the Jets?
Well, you know, when I look at the Jets, and it's nothing against them. It's a different game. But, I, you know, with Lowry out of the lineup, they miss sort of a physical presence or a guy who's going to get in your face. And there, you know, there's not a whole lot of fighting anymore, but I still love it. There's a time and a place for it. I thought it was great. It gets the guys going. You got a guy out there who can stick up. You got so many star players. You need some sandpaper in the lineup. And he's really impressed me the way he's played. And if he can stay away from, you know, just going off by himself, 2-minute minors, you can't have enough of those guys. They're the guys that you absolutely hate playing against, but you love it when they're on your team. So I think he just adds a different element and something for maybe, you know, opposing goaltenders and opposing players, especially defensemen, to just think about. You're going to get run through the boards. And when you get other people thinking and you've got an edge on that bench, and he's not a big guy, but he plays a big game. And I think that's a great look for the Jets, and it can help them in other areas.
Nick, the Jets' penalty kill has been much better of late at just about 80%, which puts them at 18th in the league. They've killed 15 in the last 16, and perhaps more importantly, which you talked about, they didn't take any against the Dallas Stars. But have you noticed them doing anything different systematically on their power penalty kill, sorry?
Well, for me, penalty kills, it's tough because, you know, every team's different, and every power play that comes into your building, or, you know, is a different one. But for me, the Jets, it's just simple. When Connor Hellebuyck's playing well, he positionally, he's sound. He's not overplaying the puck. So even when he leaves a rebound, it's sitting right there in good position for the Jets defenseman. I think for the Jets, it's just they're such a speedy team. You've got to realize that, you know, opposing teams are so good at knocking pucks down and pressuring. If you get the opportunity, that puck gets on your stick, it's got to be down 200 feet. You can't be thinking about anything else. And I think that's sort of where you start with the penalty kill. And then secondly, stay out of the box. And the last game, I thought they did a good job of that.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by TSN analyst Nick Boynton. Nick, I wanted to switch away from the Jets here for a second and talk to you about the Arizona Coyotes. Not only did you play for the Coyotes, but you've done color on Arizona Coyotes broadcasts. I mean, how hard has it for you to been to watch, you know, kind of the rough start to the season for the Coyotes?
You know what? It's very unfortunate. I worked for the Coyotes for the last 3 years. The radio and just a bunch of good guys and Rick Tocchet coming in as coach, he's a friend and I respect him a lot too. I can tell you they're not as bad as the record indicates. They haven't gotten very good goaltending. I think they've got a team that can compete a lot better than they are right now, but it's tough to watch. I feel for them. I feel for the guys I know, but I'll tell you what, Clayton Keller, you've heard of his name before. He is unbelievable, and he's the real deal. So there's some bright spots on the team, and they've got something to look forward to.
Nick, I'm going back to the Jets because, you know, I'm going to ask you to put your coaching hat on. And if you're Paul Maurice, do you continue to ride Connor Hellebuyck? And what do you do with Steve Mason, who was brought in to be the number one?
Yeah, no, you brought in Mason for the competition, so you ride Hellebuyck. I mean, there's going to be a time he falters and Mason's going to have to go in. And Mason's a professional. He, you know, grew up in my part of the world, so I know him a little bit. He's a great guy in the room, and he'll be ready to go when he gets a chance. But right now, Connor Hellebuyck, you can't take him out of the lineup when he's playing that way.
Now, Nick, we've just got a few more questions for you here. I wanted to ask you, actually, about the 2018 Winter Olympics. You, of course, played 4 years with the Ottawa 67s, had a great junior career.
Yep.
And, you know, you hear that Ontario Hockey League players might be possibly going to the 2018 Winter Olympics. You heard about Jordan Kyrou, who's leading the OHL in scoring right now for the Sarnia Sting. He's a St. Louis draft pick. There's the connection with Marty Brodeur there. I mean, what are your thoughts? We don't know if it's going to happen yet, but would you have any problem with junior teams letting their players go play in the Winter Olympics?
Well, you should have given me a heads up. I could have called Sean Burke and found out before, but he's out here in the desert with me somewhere, I think, too. So, you know what? No, not at all. Personally, I think that would be great. What an experience that would be for junior players. It's such a touchy subject and a interesting subject, but I think it would be great. The NHL guys aren't going, let the junior guys go.
And, you know, Nick, just sticking with the Olympics, I mean, I know that as a former player, you're going to have interest in the Winter Olympics, but do you think maybe with the NHL players not participating this year and maybe going back in 2022 when the Winter Olympics are in China, do you think that, you know, the average Canadian is still going to want to follow these Olympics even though you're not going to see the NHL there?
You know what, if you're asking me personally, it might be a little different just because I played. I personally would like to see it with, you know, the amateur athletes in there ahead of the pro guys. I played with guys, you know, Duncan Keith and Johnny Toews and those guys. And you know, they love going to the Olympics. It's a great experience for them, but they play a lot of hockey. And I really think the NHL game suffers a little bit when those guys go. But I also understand you're trying to, you know, grow the game. But for me personally, I'll watch it with the same enthusiasm as I would if the NHL guys are there.
Nick Boynton is a Stanley Cup champion from back in 2010. He was a tough-as-nails defenseman, if you remember his playing days. And we really thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to preview tonight's game between the Jets and the Habs at 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
To shake off Carlson, got it out at center. Tano back for Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher to the net. Scores!
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It's a Winnipeg Jets game day, a Mr. Lube game day. Big thanks to TSN analyst Nick Boynton for joining us last segment. This segment of the show is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the best sandwich in the city, the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. I'm definitely going to be eating at Bernstein's after the show. I don't know about you, Dave, but I'm probably going to have about two icy sandwiches.
Yeah, you tend to eat those things like they're going out of style.
Dave, I wanted to switch the focus now exclusively to tonight's game between the Jets and the Canadiens. It's been well documented in the first month of the season how much the Montreal Canadiens are struggling. And yesterday, Arpin Basu, editor of The Athletic Montreal, reported that Carey Price is not going to be making the trip to Winnipeg. Former Jet Al Montoya is going to be getting the start in net. Before we kind of break down the numbers, because we know that the Montreal Canadiens are not off to a good start, as I mentioned, have only won four games. Goaltending hasn't been good. They're not getting a lot of scoring. Alex Galchenyuk is struggling. What is your biggest concern in a game like this? Because it does have the potential to be a letdown game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you could take your opposition lightly here, but I think the key is that it'll be a good crowd in the building. I think the fans will be into it. I think that'll get the team, you know, amped up the way they need to. And the truth is, from this Jets team, as we've talked about already on the, you know, the first hour of the show, as they've shown a propensity for playing well in the first period, which is key. And I think, again, against a fragile Montreal team where nothing seems to be going right. You're last in the Eastern Conference. I don't know how many people would have seen that at the start of the season. And sure, it's early, but still, it's pretty significant, 12 or 13 games in. I think that as long as you get on Montreal early and, you know, really kind of put them out of it, I think that's a good sign for Winnipeg. But the truth is, I don't know that this team, especially against the Montreal team, even if they go down a goal or two in theory, is really going to feel like they're out of it. So that would be my impression.
Dave, when you're looking at, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, we talked about Brendan Gallagher's leading the team in points right now with 10. I just wanted to go through some other stats on the Montreal Canadiens. They lost their last game Thursday night to the Minnesota Wild 6-3. Goals for this year, 2.54 a game. That's 28th in the NHL. Goals against per game, 3.92 a game. That's third worst in the NHL. Their power play is 13.5%. That's fourth worst, 28th. There's 31 teams now. Sorry about that. Penalty kill is fifth worst in the NHL. So when you look at all of these numbers, goals for, goals against, power play, penalty kill, possession, whatever you want to look at, the Montreal Canadiens are either bottom five or bottom 10 in the NHL. If Carey Price doesn't start stealing games and Montreal doesn't start to get some elevated scoring from guys like Thomas Plekanec, Alex Galchenyuk, Jonathan Drouin, why should anyone believe that the Canadiens are going to be able to turn their season around?
I don't think they can. I mean, it starts in goal. I mean, maybe it's become unrealistic, but we expect Carey Price to be a game stealer night in and night out, and perhaps he's not 100%. Well, we know he's not 100% because he's obviously not playing tonight, but the fact is that I think it starts with Carey Price, but the fact is, I mean, Carey Price is, you know, we were talking about with the Jets, with Hellebuck playing so well, perhaps it disguises some of the team's warts. So when you have a goaltender who's not at the top of his game, like Carey Price isn't right now, those warts get exposed. And the truth is that Montreal is being exposed for the team that they are, which is a team that doesn't have a tremendous depth up the middle. Their defense isn't great. They haven't been able to kind of replicate what they've been able to do in the past, and as a result, you're seeing a Montreal team that's, like you just touched on, Ezzy, the bottom of nearly all the stats, and their goal differential is minus 17 right now. Already in the season, minus 17 goal differential.
Dave, before we continue our preview of tonight's Jets-Habs game, I want to play a clip of Brendan Gallagher after Thursday night's game. They were embarrassed 6-3 by the Minnesota Wild. This is Brendan Gallagher talking about how he sees the Montreal Canadiens right now and how they get themselves out of this.
No, you got to be mentally tougher. It's about mental strength. I mean, you gave up a goal. We should all know the next shift is the most important one. It doesn't matter what just happened. You go out there and you get the job done. It's, you know, if you're put on the ice, there's responsibility on you to get some momentum back for your team. And, you know, there's no excuse to give up goal after goal so quickly. I think You know, that's just about mental toughness and being aware of the situation you're in.
You know, Brendan Gallagher, I've always liked his style of play. You know, he hasn't been the problem this year, as we mentioned. He's leading the team in points right now. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Dave, when the Habs were really struggling, they lost 4-0 to the LA Kings after they beat the Florida Panthers 5-1. And then they had that impressive win at home over the New York Rangers. They scored 5 goals and then followed that up by going into Ottawa 2 days later and whooping the Ottawa Senators 8-3. So it looked like the Montreal Canadiens were on the right track. And then on Thursday night, they go and lay an egg in Minnesota and lose 6-3. You kind of wonder, you know, if it's 2 steps forward, 3 steps back for this team right now.
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt. And I think Brendan Gallagher has touched on it. You know, you can't allow a goal in quick succession when you're a team that's, as you know, walking on eggshells like the Montreal Canadiens are. And so if you're a team that, you know, fragility seems to be a bit of an issue, you know, just having these mental lapses and not having great first periods. And I think, I can't remember what the stat was, but Montreal's first periods, I've got it written down somewhere, have been abysmal. So I think that they've allowed, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but their goal differential in the first period specifically has been bad. And I'll talk about it with Mark Dumont in the next segment when we talk to him. But it's just, it's not good. So clearly, you know, we've talked about it with the Jets. Jets are having great first periods. Nick Boynton touched on it. And it just does so much for your game. It allows you to really kind of build up your resilience for the remainder of the game if you have to try and fortify your position and hold that lead. Whereas Montreal is not a team that wants to be playing without the lead because right now they're not having a tremendous amount of success in any aspect of the game.
And, you know, Dave, you mentioned the first periods have been a problem for the Montreal Canadiens. We know how good the Winnipeg Jets have been in the first period. So it's a major problem when you're putting yourself behind the eight ball to start games. And, you know, you mentioned the Montreal Canadiens up the middle. It seems like we're always talking about the Montreal Canadiens struggling up the middle there with Philip Deneau and with Alex Galchenyuk and with Thomas Plekanec. And when you're talking about, you know, some of the struggles they've had on the defensive side of the puck, I think that's probably the biggest difference for me between last year and this year. They've lost Andrei Markov, a defenseman, a staple of that defense for so many years. And Carl Alzner's come in on that second pair. Victor Mete has basically been thrust onto that top pair with Shea Weber. As you mentioned, Mark Dumont of the Athletic Montreal and TSN 690 is going to join us next segment, so we'll continue to preview tonight's Jets-Habs game with Mark Dumont. But that defense, to me, is a work in progress, to say the least. You've got a combination of veteran players like Shea Weber and Jordy Benn, and then you've got younger players like Victor Mete, and you've had, you know, players basically struggling in their new roles. And at times, they've just been lost in their own zone. They've been turning the puck over, giving up too many shots, as we talked about. The Montreal Canadiens are right up there with the Winnipeg Jets as allowing the most shots in the NHL. So I think it's a combination of many factors. You have Alex Galchenyuk, who only has 4 goals in 13 games. And you have Thomas Plekanec, who's struggling. Jonathan Drouin's actually been fine. I think he's got 9 or 10 points in 13 games. Philip Deneau's had a good start to the season. We talked about Brendan Gallagher. I mean, they do have other players on this team that can put the puck in the net. Charles Houdon, Paul Byron. I mean, they do have skilled players on this team, but I think right now they've just really struggled to put everything all together.
And again, we obviously don't watch Montreal, especially because they're out east, so it's, we don't, you know, we're more Jets focused, but of course we watch a lot of other NHL games. From what I've been reading about the Montreal Canadiens, it appears that they've just lost a step. It seems like that the speed of their play, and we'll be able to see it tonight, has kind of taken a step back from what it was last year. So that seems to be a bit of a situation, you know, especially defensively, whether they just don't have that speed. Of note for Jets fans, since we're previewing the game, doesn't look like Adam Lowry will be back for tonight's game. So you probably can expect Adam Lowry back for Dallas. Jets are on the ice for morning skate right now. Line rushes and D pairs are the same as they were for the Dallas Stars game. We don't necessarily have a starting goaltender yet because they're still on the ice. We don't have the first goalie off, so we won't know. Probably will be Connor Hellebuyck, but we'll let you know. We'll let you know either before the segment ends or after we talk to Mark Dumont.
Yeah, and in the next half an hour, we'll know who's starting in goal for the Winnipeg Jets. Most likely, sometimes, you know, it's a bit of a secret, but if Connor Hellebuyck comes off the ice first, Dave, as you mentioned, and Steve Mason is staying out there for some extra work with Wade Flaherty, that most likely means Hellebuck's going to start his 4th game in a row. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Marc Dumont of The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690 to continue to preview tonight's game between the Jets and the Habs. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, Drew Mandel's off this week. He'll be back next week. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We're pleased to be joined by Marc Dumont from The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690. Marc, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
So obviously, Marc, we're all about the Jets and Habs tonight here in Winnipeg. It's always exciting when you have an original six team in the town, and we're going to see lots of Habs jerseys, I imagine, at Bell MTS Place tonight. We were talking about the Montreal Canadiens last segment, and with wins over the New York Rangers and the Ottawa Senators, it looked like the Montreal Canadiens were beginning to turn their season around. Then they lost 6-3 against the Minnesota Wild on Thursday night, and it almost seems like, you know, that progress that they were making was nullified.
Yeah, well, those two wins were good for the morale, and they were good for fans, and they were good for some players that were clutching their sticks a little too tightly, but the reality is, for the Canadiens, is they need more than just two wins in a row. And the main issue here against the Wild, it wasn't necessarily the score. It was how poorly Carey Price played. And when Price isn't playing well, the team doesn't have very good self-esteem, and neither do the fans. So they tend to rally behind him. And that's just not happening right now. So he's not making that big save, and the whole team seems demoralized at the moment.
Marc, considering we are just 3 weeks away from that big U.S. Thanksgiving date, do you expect to see any big changes soon with the Habs?
Yeah, well, I think right now, Marc Bergevin has been extremely busy trying to get deals done. The issue is, when you're dealing from a position, when you have no leverage, it's really hard to make a trade in the NHL. So I know that names like Alex Galchenyuk, he's been shopped. I know that they have among the lead, they're spending the least in the NHL right now. So they have close to $9 million in cap space they can spend. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make a move. However, Marc Bergevin's been clear here. He's not going to make a panic trade, which essentially is code for losing a trade or spending too much on a mediocre asset. I think he wants to pull off something big. And right now, the issue being is that they have a hole on the top pairing, they have a hole on the first line, they have a hole on the second line, and they're missing a center. So even if you make a trade or two, you're still not going to fill all those spots. And as it stands, Marc Bergevin has his work cut out for him.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline by Marc Dumont, editor and contributor at The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690. And Marc, you mentioned Carey Price earlier, and I mean, Carey Price is always a topic of conversation. I still believe he's the greatest goaltender in the world, and he's obviously struggling. You mentioned that the fans have turned on Carey Price a little bit. I wouldn't say they've turned on him completely, but when you look at, you know, Carey Price right now and how long he's going to be out of the lineup, which we do believe it's going to be short term, with Al Montoya in net, is this just a terrible time for him to get injured? Or maybe conversely, you know, is this an opportunity for Carey Price to kind of, you know, take a step back and refresh his mind and maybe get back to, you know, being, as we expect, one of the top goalies in the league?
Well, I agree with you that he is one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the world. And the good news is, Al Montoya, I find he's always been one of those really underrated backups. Last year, even with that big loss against Columbus where they ended up scoring 10 on him, his numbers are still pretty good. So I always look at him as like a high-end backup or number 2A type of situation. So I think Montoya can provide some quality goaltending. And in the meantime, what's going on with Price, what's so worrying is not necessarily that he's getting scored on with bad goals. It's that he's legitimately having a hard time tracking the puck. His lateral movement has been really slow, and he seems to have a hard time holding on to rebounds. So these are all technical issues that usually, when it comes to Carey Price, are never even in question. Technically, he's so sound. He's so poised and calm. Now he's overcommitting. So maybe it's a good opportunity for him to clear his head. It doesn't show all the time, but he is one of the biggest competitors, and he's one of the guys that takes losses the heaviest on the team. He showed it at the beginning of the year when he smashed his stick, but for many people, that was the first time they saw Price show any kind of emotion. He shows that emotion in the locker room. He absolutely hates to lose, so he just needs to get his head on straight, and I have no doubt that he will. But as Arpin Basu wrote today at The Athletic in Montreal, it's, the question is when. Time is quickly running out here, and we all know in a league where there's 3 points given on a lot of nights, it's hard to pull out of the basement. So the Canadians right now, they just need him to be their unquestioned leader. And even though Pacioretty wears the C, it's Carey Price who leads the team. That is known throughout the ranks. He needs to clear his mind, maybe take a little break there, and get back to being the best goalie in the NHL. I have, again, no doubt that it's going to happen. But how many more losses until it happens? That's the question. Lately, he's not just not stealing games. He's sinking the Canadians, and that's something we haven't seen in a very, very long time.
Mark, Montreal's goal differential is minus 17. They've allowed the second most goals against, and they've scored the third least goals for. Which area in your mind is more problematic?
Oh, God. Is there option C there for all of the above?
Yes, if you choose.
See, I honestly think the issue stems on defense. Because we can talk about forwards not scoring, but most of the plays start in the back end. And right now, the Canadians aren't moving the puck up out of their zone with any kind of skill. So what's happening is they get bogged down in their own zone. The forwards have no speed going through the neutral zone. And when they get to the attacking zone, the defense is already set. The goalie's already set. A goalie that's not moving is a goalie that'll save the puck. So over the last few years, the Canadians got rid of Markov, they got rid of Beaulieu, they got rid of Subban, they traded Sergachev. They essentially traded all their puck-moving defensemen. They replaced them by some guys that are slower, that have a harder time moving the puck, and it shows. That's simply the issue right now, is that they just can't move the puck up the ice very quickly. So if they could find someone with those $9 million to move the puck a bit quicker, then they'll probably do a better job scoring goals. Just because a guy like Max Pacioretty, he needs speed through the neutral zone to score. And right now he's not getting that. So I definitely think the issue stems on defense. And if you fix that, you might fix several other issues that are plaguing the Canadians right now, including how they're erratic in their own zone right now. And Price is having a hard time communicating with his defenders. So that's what happens when you have a major turnover in defense. There were only two players that played with the Canadians all year last year, and it's showing right now. There's a lack of communication. There's a lack of trust.
We're joined by Marc Dumont from Athletique Montréal and TSN 690.
And
I don't know if you know this, my mom is from Montreal, and I lived for Montreal for a few months, and now that Amanda Steyn works for the New Jersey Devils, we do need someone in Montreal to send us St. Viateur bagel.
God, aren't they good, eh? I just moved here from Ottawa. I'd been covering the Habs for a while, and I gained a quick 30 pounds. I'm blaming it all on the bagels.
That's what I always do. I don't blame the fact that I like to overeat. I just blame the bagels themselves for being there.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that I'm not doing any exercise and that I'm eating 3 bagels a day. That's not an issue whatsoever.
I like it. Mark, I wanted to ask you about Victor Mete, obviously a high draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens, former defenseman for the London Knights. He's played all 13 games for the Habs this year. He's been paired up with Shea Weber. What have you thought of his play so far this season?
It's been quite good considering a 19-year-old rookie in the NHL playing top pairing. It's quite the ask. Now, if you spoke to anyone that played against London or for London, they'll tell you, this comes as no surprise. Victor Mete was arguably the best skater in the OHL last year, and he's arguably the best skater in the entire Montreal Canadiens organization. Now, the issue here, and we spoke about it last segment, was they're having a hard time trusting him in high-pressure situations. So what's going on is they take Victor Mete off the ice, and they'll place Carl Alzner beside Shea Weber. And that pairing is actually getting dominated when they're on the ice. So Claude Julien is not trusting him, and we've seen Shea Weber a few times overcommit to a player that Mete is already covering, and that's leading to goal-scoring chances against. So I honestly think his play has been quite good. He's had some errors, and that's just normal for a kid his age playing in the NHL, but both his coach and his partner need to trust him better because he's one of the rare guys on the blue line that can move the puck up the ice, and the Montreal Canadiens desperately need that right now. So his minutes will fluctuate. In a win, you'll see them get all the way up to 22 minutes. When they're losing, it'll be somewhere between 10 to 15 minutes. So his ice time is being closely monitored, and they're really not putting him in any kind of high-pressure situation. But in my, you know, non-coaching experience of opinion, I think you could actually use Mete in a few of those situations. And you know, it'll help him learn, and I don't think he'd do any worse than Carl Alzner.
Mark, you've touched on it a little bit, but the Habs seem to stumble out of the gate in games. They've got 22 goals against in the first period and 13 goals for. What do you think the reason is for the slow starts?
Well, and to add to that, they six times this year they've been scored on twice within a minute. And of those six times, five of those situations, they got scored on twice in 30 seconds. Wow. It's really right now they're having a hard time with their gap control. So the defensemen are allowing opponents in their zone with the greatest of ease. They're backing off way too much. And then their zone coverage that they play in their own, around Carey Price, they try to insulate Carey Price. To me, it's somewhat counterproductive because you have a really good goalie there. Even though he struggled this year, you have a really good goalie. So if you lose your coverage there, you're going to give up a high-quality chance. And that's what's happening to the Canadiens right now. They are allowing guys like, you know, Scheifele that are known for creating good chances. They're giving them opportunities to score. And the pairings, other than when Mete has been on the ice, and even then that pairing hasn't been great, in general, most of those pairings have struggled. They're not communicating very well. They're getting lost in their own zone. They're chasing guys way too far up the ice, and it's creating opportunities. Even a guy like Shea Weber is chasing players. And as soon as you start to chase a player in zone coverage, you open up good two-on-one opportunities, good one-timer opportunities. So I think it's really just an issue of the strategy itself is not helping. The personnel is always an issue. And you know, there's no confidence in that lineup right now. And the confidence, like we spoke of earlier, it usually comes from Carey Price. Now that it's not coming from Carey Price, they're having a hard time finding it. So even those two wins didn't do much to help their confidence because they knew throughout those two wins they had a goalie that was struggling. If Carey Price can get back to his game, you'll see a little more confidence in the defensive zone. But right now they're worrying and they're trying to play a perfect game. And when that happens, you're going to make errors. So they just need to calm down a little bit, play a better defense, especially preventing players coming into their zone. Because that's one issue with the Canadiens. Everyone gets a free pass into the offensive zone.
We're joined by Marc Dumont of The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690 on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline. Marc, we've just got a few more questions for you here. The defensive struggles have been well documented. The goaltending struggles have been well documented for the Montreal Canadiens. The goal scoring issues for the Montreal Canadiens have been well documented. A player that I really like that I don't think is getting talked about enough is Philip Deneau. He had 4 points against the New York Rangers a few nights back. He's got points in three straight games. He's got 6 points in his last three games. He had his breakout year last year for the Montreal Canadiens, but is that kind of getting lost a little bit so far this season for the Montreal Canadiens that Philip Deneau is actually having a pretty good start to the season?
Yeah, well, one of the issues that started with the year is that Claude Julien really wanted Jonathan Drouin to center Max Pacioretty. And they let that experiment go on for about half a dozen games. At that time, Deneau, he played with various players, including Galchenyuk, Gallagher, and there was absolutely no chemistry for Pacioretty. There was absolutely no chemistry for Deneau. So what they did recently is that they pulled Pacioretty away from Drouin because those two have a completely different style of play. Pacioretty scores off the rush. Drouin, he takes the puck and he backs off defenders. He sets in the zone, whereas Pacioretty needs to surprise the defenders. So now that Deneau has been put back with Pacioretty, they're scoring again. And it's not just that they're putting shots on net, they're putting quality chances on net, and they're reaping the reward there. So, no, I think he's picked it up ever since he's been reunited with the captain. And those two just, they have the chemistry because Deneau, his job there is go fetch the puck. You know, go work hard against the boards, forecheck hard, get the puck to Max Pacioretty. You know, create the space, but not the way that Drouin was doing it. You don't back off defenders. You have to create the space by hitting hard, by digging for those pucks. And that's something that Philip Deneau has done quite well. I'm not sure in an ideal world if he's in your top six, but right now you can't criticize him because he's doing more than his paycheck is dictating. And he's been a good find for the Montreal Canadiens. And if he can get Max Pacioretty going, then the Habs will be in a much healthier place.
Mark, you know, speaking of criticism, after they lost to Minnesota, Coach Julianne said, it's not the Carey Price we know. Now, do you think that was a criticism of his goaltender? I mean, clearly it seems like it's a criticism of his goaltender, but are you surprised that it was so public? Is that his coaching style to kind of put that out into the public realm?
Well, no, it isn't. But see, here's the thing with Twitter and you know, reading it. And I agree with you. When I read that, I thought, hey, you know, that's a little out of character for Claude Julien. This is your best player. You don't really want to be criticizing him. And even if he's playing poorly, he's saved Montreal's bacon for half a decade now. But then when you listen to the clip in his tone, Julien basically, you know, it was a lot less harsh listening to him speak. He was saying, you know, yeah, he is having a hard time, like kind of admitting it. But, you know, he's our best player and he'll get back on his game. So I think it was just a brief moment of honesty from a coach, but his tone came off a little less harsh once you listened to it. And God only knows what it'll take for Carey to get going, but it won't be a coach saying, hey, he's not playing well. Carey Price is really, really hard on himself. He'll be the first one to tell you, I need to play better. And it wouldn't surprise me if any moment now, once he gets back from that minor injury, which hopefully it's minor, if he catches fire, because he's one of those guys that he'll have a hard time sleeping when he's not playing well. And he won't take anything from the coach's comments. That won't bother him. He doesn't need anyone to tell him he's playing poorly. He knows it.
Marc Dumont of The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690, thanks very much for joining us this morning, Mark, and enjoy watching tonight's game between the Jets and Canadiens.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the Jets' forward lines might look like when Adam Lowry and Matthew Perreault come back into the lineup. Adam Lowry isn't going to play tonight versus the Canadiens, but he's going to be back into the lineup soon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
And a goal, a chance for Tanev on a steal. Tanev right in! Scores! Great goal, shorthanded Brandon Tanev, and it's 1-0 Winnipeg.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thanks to Marc Dumont of The Athletic Montreal and TSN 690 for joining us last segment. Dave, I want to spend this segment, we've got Michael Trakos of Post Media News coming up at 10:30. I want to spend this segment talking about the Jets' forward lines. And I know Murat of The Athletic had an article about this, I believe it was posted yesterday, about what the Jets' lines might look like when Adam Lowry and Matthew Perreault return to the lineup. And I think it's interesting because you forget, Adam Lowry has been out of the lineup for quite some time now. I think it was the Vancouver game. Mm-hmm. That Adam Lowry got injured. So we're talking about early to mid-October. Was it October 12th?
I think so, yeah.
Against Vancouver. That was the last time Adam Lowry was out of the lineup. So that's, you know, over 3 weeks now, Dave. Mm-hmm. And Adam Lowry, we know, is getting closer to returning. Matthew Perreault is still, I would say, a week to 2 weeks away. But Lowry's probably going to be back in the lineup either Monday against Dallas on the road or then those back-to-back games in Vegas and Arizona, right? So I think it's safe to say that Lowry's going to be back within the next week.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. It seemed, you know, once he shed the non-contact uniform and they had an opportunity to kind of bang and crash and play with a regular jersey during practice, that he was close to returning to the lineup.
And right now, Dave, you have Andrew Copp centering that third line. He picked up a goal on Thursday night against the Dallas Stars. I think he's played really well in that third line role. He's been a staple of that fourth line for the Jets the last 3 years. So my question for you, Dave, is, when Adam Lowry comes back into the lineup, I think everyone expects him to go back into his third-line center role, but I don't want you just to answer the question of where Adam Lowry is going to go when he comes back into the lineup, but what do you see happening with all four lines? Because we know that Kyle Connor has looked really good since coming back from the Manitoba Moose on the top line with Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, and we expect Brian Little to stay on that second line centering Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers. So more so for those bottom two lines, when Adam Lowry comes back, where do you see those four and third lines going? And where do you see those third and fourth lines going once Matthew Perreault comes back into the lineup in about 2 weeks?
To me, the NHL has gone to the, instead of top six, bottom six, they really are talking about top top nine, and that, and that's what you have to move towards. And the Jets are having success right now, and they're, you know, like I said, they're playing well from the perspective of they're getting the wins, and that's the most important thing. But you know, would you know? I mean, there's no question this lineup will be better when you have Adam Lowry and especially Matthew Perreault back in the lineup. You know, so from that perspective, especially when you're looking at an opportunity to give yourself that real top nine. And scoring depth, because that's what the team needs, right? And right now, the scoring depth from that first line is spectacular. The second line, a little slower, but, you know, again, they're still having individual success. But to me, you know, you're going to have Adam Lowry slot into that third center line. There's no doubt about that, obviously. You're going to have, you know, Kopp is definitely dropping out of that spot. He'll go to the fourth line.
Clearly, do you like Andrew Kopp on the wing on the fourth line? Do you keep Matt Hendricks centering that fourth line, or does Matt Hendricks maybe move to the wing and Andrew Kopp centers that fourth line?
Well, the Jets are undefeated, 2-0-2 with Matt Hendricks in the lineup right now at center. So I don't know that Coach Maurice is going to get away from that until they maybe lose a game or two. He really likes Matt Hendricks. He loves what he brings to the game. You know, the advanced stats don't necessarily conform to Matt Hendricks playing a lot of minutes, of course. But I would say Andrew Kopp. And we talked about it with Andrew Kopp early in the season on what he has to do to stay in the lineup. And he himself recognizes that he has to be kind of a jack of all trades. He can't specifically just be a center guy. He has to be able to play the wing because there's going to be opportunities for him on the wing that may not be there at center. So to me, Andrew Kopp being able to flip over onto that wing is a good thing for the Jets because, you know, the truth is you want to have versatility in your players and you want a player who can play both center and wing. One, because generally, you know, centers are more defensively responsible than wingers. And secondly, if you need a guy in the faceoff zone and you know, let's say it's an icing and, you know, Matt Hendricks gets tossed, well, you want a guy who's able to handle himself in the faceoff dot to be able to go in there. So an Andrew Kopp is a effective tool for Coach Maurice in that respect.
Dave, if the Jets are healthy, completely healthy, with the exception of Matthew Perreault, so I guess they wouldn't be completely healthy then.
Right, not completely.
So if they're almost completely healthy next week, whether it's Monday in Dallas or Friday in Vegas, that should be a good time, by the way, with all those Jets fans down there.
Well, they're getting quite the opportunity to be able to. They're doing, a lot of people are doing that doubleheader. They're doing the Arizona, flying to Arizona, and then driving to Vegas or flying to Vegas and then going back to Arizona.
That'll be a fun doubleheader.
Yeah.
Lots of fun in the sun.
Yeah, I don't know if the Jets are going to be in Vegas. We might not see the Jets again. They're going to be in Vegas for like 3 days.
The question is, where are the Jets going to go after the game when they win? Is it going to be Planet Hollywood, or are they going to go to Cosmo?
Well, I mean, if they're smart, they'll join you, me, and Philly Dan in the Heart Bar.
Shout out to
Jordan Farber.
Shout out to Philly Dan. If Huss is listening, he'll know who we're talking about. But when we go back to the third line, because I agree with you, Dave. When Adam Lowry comes back to the lineup, most likely he's going to go back to centering that third line. And I think the question becomes then, when Matthew Perreault is back in the lineup, which we expect to be in a couple weeks, maybe he comes back in a week, do you put Matthew Perreault on the left wing on that third line? Do you keep Brandon Tanev there? How does Sean Mathias fit in? And when Adam Lowry does come back into the lineup, because we know Tucker Poolman was reassigned to the Manitoba Moose 2 days ago. So they've already sent Tucker Poolman back. He played last night against Bakersfield. Or is it Stockton?
Stockton.
Sorry. They played Bakersfield tonight.
Yeah.
So Tucker Poolman played last night. The Moose won. They beat Stockton, I believe it was 4-1.
Correct.
So we know that Tucker Poolman has already been sent down. The Jets currently have 7 defensemen up with the big club. Do you send Brendan Lemieux down? Because he's playing pretty well right now. What does Kevin Cheveldayoff and Paul Maurice do? What do they do once Adam Lowry is back into the lineup? Because we know that a forward is most likely going to have to go down to the Moose.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, they have the one spot, obviously, because like you just touched on, Ezzie, they sent Poolman down, which obviously they're allocating for Adam Lowry's return.
Yep.
So they'll still be compliant once Adam Lowry returns. And again, if you're talking about the lines, I really think that Coach Maurice liked having Lowry, Army, and Mathias as a line. So I could see that being your third line until Matthew Perreault returns.
Sorry, Dave, just to interrupt you. What I meant was once Perreault comes back to the lineup, then they're going to have to send someone
right,
down.
Right, exactly. And then, again, when Perreault, this is my vision. And I mean, again, this is my own personal take from watching the games. I think he drops Tanev off that third line because he probably shouldn't be on the third line. And then you go Armia, Lowry, and Mathias because, he likes the way that line's composed from last year. They played quite a bit together. So you have those three guys together. Sean Mathias, let's be realistic. I don't know that there's a Jets player right now who's had more chances and just seems to be the most snake bit of all the forwards on this team. So I think
he's looking for his first goal of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think from the coaching perspective, when he has a familiarity back with Adam Lowry and Joel Armia, perhaps. I mean, this is conjecture, of course, on my part. But if that's the case and he has those three together and Sean Mathias still isn't producing, when Matthew Perreault returns, I mean, let's be realistic. There's no question Matthew Perreault is going back onto the wing on that third line because, again, that really gives you, with Perreault, Armia, and Lowry, a decent third line. That's your third scoring third line. And then from that perspective, Ezzy, you know, you really go to, let's be realistic, Coach Maurice loves Hendricks, so he's keeping Hendricks in the lineup. He likes a lot what Brandon Tanev's been doing, and Brandon Tanev's game has definitely improved of late. So, you know, do you send Lemieux down, who can be sent down? Or do you
can you send Brendan Lemieux down? Like, in the how many games has he played now this year for the Jets?
Four, I think, yeah.
The way he's played, and we had him on the show, I believe that was 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's obviously as a result of coming on. Being
absolutely.
With us.
Come on the Illegal Curve Hockey
hint,
Show.
Hint to any future Manitoba Moose who want to get called up.
Absolutely. When you look at how he's played, he had the big fight against Jamel Smith on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good scrap, by the way. I really like that.
Well, and I got to give a shout out to our photographer, Colby Spence, who took a phenomenal picture. It's getting a tremendous amount of action on our Instagram. You just see Lemieux with an ear-to-ear grin as he's in the midst of this melee. I called it a Donnybrook, and someone corrected me. So it wasn't a Donnybrook, but it was a good little tilt.
A kerfuffle.
Yeah,
I like exactly. That word. But when you talk about, you know, just quickly, we're up against the break, and then we're going to come back with Michael Trakos of Post Media. When you look at, you know, these lines, and I agree with you, when you look at that fourth line, someone is going to come out of that lineup. And when you talk about Matt Hendricks versus Joel Armia, I mean, it's one of those bad problems to have, I think, if you're Paul Maurice. Good problems in the sense that, you know, you have a lot of competition on those third and fourth lines. But really, I think it's a bad problem because you ideally don't want to take anyone out of the lineup when they're playing well. That's what I mean, right? And sure, you would still like more production out of Sean Mathias. You know, Brendan Lemieux got a goal. You'd like more production out of Joel Armia. You'd like maybe a little bit more production out of Tanev, even though he had that goal that came back, that would have been his second of the year. So I think I agree with you. Brandon Tanev has played really well, but it's a numbers game, right? The Jets aren't going to go with 13 forwards.
No, and I think, clearly Mark O'Dano doesn't have favor with this coaching staff, and I think probably should go down to the Moose and get an opportunity to kind of refine his game.
So when Matthew Perreault comes back, you think that is an option?
Well, I mean, look, clearly they don't want to, you know, there was, whatchamacallit, in the Ottawa Sun,
Bruce Garriock.
Yep. Bruce Garriock was talking about the fact that, you know, that Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Jets general manager, was shopping forward. So, I mean, perhaps they're looking to not lose an asset and be able to trade someone. I mean, again, that's speculation simply based on what he said. But, you know, obviously that's a risk. When you're sending a player who's not waiver exempt down to the minors, you have a chance of losing him. Now, you know, maybe a team like Montreal would take a chance on someone like Mark O'Dano. So, you know, there's always a risk associated with something like that. But, again, this is probably a good, option to have for the team because they're playing well.
You know, Dave, we'll keep an eye on it definitely here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and IllegalCurve.com because when Adam Lowry comes back into the lineup, someone's got to come out, and we're not sure who it is right now because – you know, the first six or seven games of the season, the bottom six was really struggling, or if you want to call it, you know, the third line and the fourth line, whatever you want to call it, the Jets are starting to generate some more offense. We saw it against the Pittsburgh Penguins last weekend. We saw it against the Dallas Stars. The third line was chipping in with some offense. So it's going to be a tough decision for Paul Maurice. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Michael Trakos, our very good friend of Post Media. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.